South African Tourism Minister, Patricia de Lille, has just returned from a trip to India to strengthen tourism ties with her Indian counterpart. And she was also caught up in the delays at OR Tambo Airport following a refueling problem at the airport. Welcome to Business, Minister de Lille.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure and thank you for the opportunity.
Well, before we discuss your trip to India, so what happened? Were you also caught because of that, waiting at the airport because of this refueling problem?
Yes, I was stuck in the plane for 2 hours. First of all, the pilot announced that we are waiting on a parking bay before we can land. They finally, after 20 minutes, allocated the parking bay. We then landed and the pilot announced that we are now in a queue waiting for staircases and the buses to come. That took another hour. When the staircase finally arrived, people still had to wait for the buses to get off the plane. And for me, it was really so worrying because that flight was also full of tourists and business people. And, you know, just the brand for South Africa and the way people are received, the knock-on effect of people having missed their connecting flights. And, you know, just some ordinary South Africans that have saved the whole year for their holiday trips, and they also missing connecting flights. So I was very disappointed and concerned, but also that it is clear that the airport's company did not make sure that they are ready for the peak season. Before a peak season, you normally do maintenance, you check that your contingency plans are in place, but it was absolute chaos. When I finally got to the arrival hall, there were 8 buses parked there. People were just sitting in the buses as if they didn't know where to go. So I have called for a meeting with the Minister of Transport, Minister Barbara Creasy. She's also very concerned about it. And I'm waiting to hear back from her office. Because my concern, Linda, is that they can't give us a guarantee that it's not going to happen again. And that is really my concern, why I want to meet with the minister.
So what measures do you want them to take?
The measures that I want them to take is to bring all stakeholders together to make sure that they've got a plan in place, that they've got a contingency plan in place in the event it happens again. But also, this is not the first time we have this problem. It started way back in 2022. And I went to go look at a question that was answered by the then Minister of Transport to a member of parliament, and the reasons and the excuses and what they were going to do. But the then minister also made reference to infrastructure and the maintenance of infrastructure. So I hope we can get our act together, because we are expecting a bumper tourism season.
Well, before we get to India, can I ask you about, so how has tourism picked up in South Africa since COVID?
Well, our domestic tourism, that's the bedrock of our tourism. They way past the 2019 figures. And, you know, Linda, I say always is that we were holed up and locked up for a couple of years. And it's like a revenge travel. You know, people want to get out. They want to go and visit those hidden gems in our country, because we don't know when the next pandemic might strike. So we're very dependent on our domestic tourism. Last year, our domestic tourism contributed 123 billion rand to our economy, while the international travel contributed 95 billion. So the record that we need to break now for 2024 is that in 2023, we received 8.5 million tourists. And I would like to see the 2024 increase. And as you know, we work according to calendar years. So the month of December is critical, where most of South Africans go and visit family that they maybe see once a year, and people just travel all over our beautiful country. And so we must make sure. I know that the private sector, they are well prepared. I know that I have even sent a message to all the people working during the festive season to make sure that you and me are comfortable, people working in the hotels, at reception areas, to say thank you to them. So I hope there will be no further glitches as we go through the month of December and right into 2025.
So the international tourists and the two markets that are really lucrative is the Indian market and the Chinese market. And you've just been to India. So what was the purpose of that visit?
Linda, I have been struggling for almost 2 years since I became the Minister of Tourism to say to our government that we are part of the BRICS family. Why do we have a different visa dispensation for Brazil and Russia and not for China and India? And it took us 18 months until the president established an interministerial committee consisting of tourism, home affairs, and state security. So finally, October this year, the president gave us a deadline and said, look, I'm going to BRICS in Russia at the end of October. I want to have a solution and a plan what you are going to do. And that pressure is on the three ministers has helped us to finally come with a solution. So India and China, big source markets and big opportunities. And then once we have now finally sorted out the visa regulations for India and China. And that's why I went to India to tell them that our visa problems is now behind us. We have established a scheme called the Trusted Tour Operators. We have advertised and 23 companies, tour operators applied from India. And through the tour operators, because the Indians and Chinese, they travel in big groups, the tour operator will now be able to deal with the visas. Whether it's a group of 5 or 10 or 200, the visas will be issued via the tour operator on behalf of the travelers. So each traveler don't need to apply individually like it's been in the past. So as from the 20th of January, the new tour operator scheme will kick in. It's the first phase. We are going to test it with Home Affairs and the state security. And then we're launching the second phase in February. But also, we introduced a new system called the ETA system, which is the electronic travel authorization. And the Department of Home Affairs is phasing out the e-visa system. Just gave us lots of problems, never really worked. So the ETA system has now become effective, where people can apply online, the comfort from their homes. But the ETA is very important for the business sector too, because if you have a business in South Africa, and you travel up and down to South Africa, you'll be able to, the business people will be able to get a 5-year multi-entry visa. So they don't have to apply every time. The third one that we have also announced in India is a month or so ago, the Department of Home Affairs and Tourism and the Department of International Relations, we send out an instruction to all our missions abroad. Because what we discovered is that over the years, officials in the missions abroad just added more criteria, like copies of death certificates, copies of divorce certificate, when in fact, in law, it is not required. The law stipulates only 3 criteria when a person applies for a visa. When are you going to South Africa? What are you going to do? How long do you want to stay? And then, of course, the third one is that, do you have the finances to come to South Africa? So now all the missions were instructed that stop all of this unnecessary criteria that you've added over the years. And so I also visited our High Commission in India, and they've already implemented the system. So now that we've sorted out the visa problem, the next thing is the route development between India and South Africa. You know, the Guptas stole our route in 2015. And since that time, we've never really had a direct flight between India and South Africa. People like to travel directly to their destination. So while I was in India, I met with the three airlines of India, three of them, together with South African Airways, accompanied me. So we visited Air India. And Air India said to us, it's not a question if we are going to do it, it's a question of when. There's a shortage of aircrafts across the world, and once they have the aircrafts, they will fly to South Africa. Indigo Airlines, it's a local airline in India. They are starting discussions with South African Airways to have a code share agreement. They already fly to Mauritius and they fly to Nairobi. And then with a code share agreement, SAA will then be able to pick up visitors from those two countries while they are also waiting for bigger planes and wider planes that they have ordered already. There's another company called SpiceJet that we met, but they are about to go into business rescue. And while they are sorting out their problems, internal problems, they've not considered South Africa, but they have committed to look into it once they've sorted out the internal problems. So that is the good news. But also just in terms of businesses, I also had a delegation of business people from South Africa traveling with me. And four of them have signed MOUs while we were in India. The first one was between South Africa's Gender Mark and Tech Mahindra. It's a big Indian company. And they are now going to, bring their business to South Africa and vice versa. We also seen some agreements signed by three other South African companies. And then there's a new one that is doing distribution from India called Dog Chew Africa. It's a company that produces organic dog treats and food and so all that. And then I also addressed the Confederation of Indian Partnership Summit. And there were 26 countries there. And again, the 30 or so South African business people were able to interact with them. So it was a very successful on the trade side. But we also promoted sports and culture tourism. As you know, South Africa will be hosting the 2027 Cricket World Cup, and lots of Indian fans will come. So we are working together with them for tourism to piggyback on the 2027 World Cup and show the fans what they can do in South Africa, you know, tourist attractions that that they can visit. The last one on the culture side is that I visited a temple in New Delhi called the Ashadam Temple. Beautiful. Very spiritual journey. I learned such a lot. Shante, namaste, and, you know, just understand the religion better. But the Ashadam movement, they are building a similar temple in South Africa. And the first phase of the temple in Johannesburg, I think it's in Midrand, will be opened in January 2025. And their world spiritual leader will be visiting South Africa. So it was a very, very busy trip. And then the last one, of course, we, as South Africa, we are leading on the MICE conference and sector, the meetings, incentive, conference, and events. We are leading in Africa and we are leading in the Middle East. but we should not become complacent. So we've also interacted with the MICE sector in India for them to come and have more conference and events in South Africa. And even there, we were able to get commitments for 2025. Everybody's very excited because we will be the chair of the G20 in 2025. And in South Africa, we will be hosting between 200 and 300 business events. So I want to strike while the iron is hot. It's very positive. And so once the minister has announced the qualifying tour operators, I will have a virtual meeting with them and welcome them. But there are great opportunities for us to learn. You know, we must not just, I think we scored our own goals with the visa system. It kept many people away. And of course, now we're working on the route and the air access. And I'm very positive that, you know, we can grow the sector substantially with India and China.
Well, it sounds very successful in opening the doors to India.
Yeah.
But I can't have a minister in the government of national unity with and such a veteran of being an opposition party, you know, working with the ANC without asking you how are things going.
Yeah. You know, Linda, I must say to you that when we are in our cabinet meetings that are confidential, of course, the spirit of engagement is there. But what I love even more is that a lot of new ideas come from the GNU ministers, you know, and also the commitment that we should leave our differences outside the door and put the interests of our country first. So I have learned a lot from the new ministers. I'm working very closely with Minister Schreiber of Home Affairs. I'm working closely with Minister Dean McPherson. Even myself, I buried my, you know, my problem I had with the DA and the big fight that I had with the DA. So I think we are working well together. We just have to become a bit more mature in dealing with the two issues now, which is the Bella Bill and the NHI. I think there is, from the president's side, an approach that says, yes, let's acknowledge that we have differences, but come with solutions. And currently, there's the clearinghouse that must deal with all of these issues. They're meeting again tomorrow on Thursday in Pretoria. And then, of course, from the clearinghouse, they will then bring their recommendations to the full cabinet. But so far, so good, Linda. Let's hope it stays so.
Do not worry that Bella and the NHI would tear it apart.
I hope not. I hope not. Because we have to think about the alternatives. You know, as much as Bella and NHI is important, but, you know, we have to focus as the GNU. Our key focus must be how to grow an inclusive economy, how to create more jobs. We're sitting in a time bomb of unemployment. And if that explodes, we're all going to feel it. So I hope that the parties will be able to come to a compromise. I mean, I was at the World Trade Center, spent 2 years there negotiating. And the key of the success of the negotiating at the World Trade Center, you know the term, Linda, sufficient consensus. We never voted there. So it was no matter about the size of the party or, you know, but it was about sufficient consensus. And I'm very hopeful that we can find sufficient consensus around these two critical issues.
Yeah, now we both saw how well that turned out. So,
yes,
Patricia DeVille, so lovely speaking to you again. Thank you so much. Thanks for being on BizNews today.